Kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo, ere rangi poho he parakuhi tēnei, you're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast with Rosetta and Millie. Now, it's a bloody awesome time to be a Wellingtonian, I must say, because Cuba Duper just absolutely tore the roof off the place, from the looks of things, and now we've had the announcement of Lumus Festival coming back this June. It's all very, very exciting. The lineup is kind of unbelievable.
It's insane.
And we're lucky enough to be joined by Andrew and David, who are festival director and music programmer at Lumus. Morena.
Morning.
Morena team.
How are we both this morning?
Yeah, going pretty good.
I'm well. How are you doing, Andrew?
Good. It's been a long last week getting the program online, you know, but going great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking insane. I'm curious as to where you even start with a program like this, because, you know, we've got all these amazing internationals coming. You've got Kate Le Bon, you've got Channel Beads, Saint Levant, Kelly Moran, Snapped Ankles, the list goes on. And then there's some really amazing local pulls as well, some really special shows. Shane Carter with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, Troy Kingi with all of the features on Night Lords, the acoustic series with Orchestra of Spheres, etc. Tell us a little bit about what it looks like to, you know, create your vision board for a festival like this.
Do you want to start on that one, David?
Yeah, sure. So from a music perspective specifically, I think the partnership with Andrew is the first time we've worked together on something, and what's been really, really fun is we've kind of both got our lanes, I feel, so to speak. Mm. You may feel differently, Andrew, but it's quite complementary. And so my job in day-to-day life is working on touring, primarily with international artists. And so I guess we were fortunate. It's pretty economically impossible to have artists come and play that aren't already in Australia or Southeast Asia or the general kind of region. Mm-hmm. And so we, I used to live in Australia, and we, both Andrew and I, have fairly strong relationships with folk at Dark Mofo and Rising in Melbourne and Vivid in Sydney. And so we kind of all were able to talk to each other about what acts were coming, which acts we collectively wanted to work on. Some of that was stuff that we were interested in that they were able to help support, and then others were things that they let us know about. And so I guess that's the kind of starting point, and you filter from there as to, out of all of the things that are available, what things make sense for the overall kind of aesthetic and flavour of what you're wanting to do. And we wanted to lean into that idea of kind of curiosity in winter. And I think Wellington as a city really lends itself to that ability to be able to, even, like, you know, I think one of the things Wellington probably gets the worst rap for is the weather. But for a midwinter, a multi-night, multi-venue thing where you're running between venues with a raincoat, it doesn't really matter. Like you could be skipping through the sunshine of wherever, but it is winter, and so you expect it to be like that. And the fact that you can run between food pop-ups and restaurants, like on the Thursday the 18th, we've got Acid Mother's Temple playing at the old St. Paul's Cathedral. We have Troy Kingi with, like you said, Tom Scott, Jess B, Moko Mokai, Swidit, like an insane Ma, and more, just insane lineup. That's at Meow Nui. And then we have this UK Glaswegian kind of producer DJ that's just signed to XL called Kavari. And they're all happening at the same time. And you could kind of jump between those venues, like I say, stopping at one of our bars or one of the pop-up food things that are happening. And it really brings the entire city together and alive, which is, I think that's what kind of part of the magic of it all.
Yeah, hard. I have really strong memories of similarly, you know, running between venues in the hectic weather of Great Sounds Great a couple of years ago when it was like a real horrific storm, but it sort of just adds to the multi-sensory vibe.
Yeah.
I genuinely think so. Like, you know that where you're going will be warm and dry.
Yeah.
And you're going to see one of the, like, Kavari's, I mean, that's another huge part of it is, and again, with being candid and honest about like what we actually had to pull from, because it's not, we don't have unlimited budgets and you can't just magic up whatever your, you know, your number one act would be. But with what we had to pull from, a majority of these artists, or at least a lot of them, are A, exclusive to Loomis in Wellington. So there won't be Auckland shows or Christchurch shows. And for a lot of them, it's their first time coming to the country. So Kavari's first time, certainly Chanel Beads' first time, Discovery Zone, who's opening for Chanel Beads on the same bill, their first time, Snap Dankle's first time. So there's a bunch of stuff that is, and then both those, the Troy Kingi show and the Shane Carter one, are kind of world premieres, or in the case of Troy, I think he's done it maybe once in Auckland before, but not part of a tour or something. And then we do share some acts with, there are a handful that are playing in Auckland as well. So it's not kind of exclusive, so to speak. But I think the way it's programmed, there's like these little pockets you can jump into. So you could kind of go down for opening night and be there for Chanel Beads and Discovery Zone. And then the next night is St. Lavon.
Mm-hmm.
And then that weekend, if you're able to stick around for an extra few days, is Lydia Lunch, which again is exclusive. Or you could come down, back down kind of towards the end of the festival, where you've got, like I say, that Troy Kingi, Kavari. We're doing a big midwinter ball on the Saturday night, which we haven't announced the lineup for that yet. But we've got Aotearangi DJing and Babyface Killer and Papa Jacks and others. Yeah. So it'd be like a real fun way to end, well, not end the festival, but kind of a crescendo, if you will.
Yeah, awesome.
And then that Friday night, in between those, sandwiched in between, is the Shane Carter show. So and Andrew's got the street procession, and so you could choose a window to pop down for and be there for 2-3 nights and see so much.
Wow. Andrew, I want to ask you a little bit about your role as festival director, because I know that Loomis is entering its 11th year, so it must feel like things are really hitting a good stride.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big jump this year. I think we've always kind of been exploring these types of areas, but I guess it's just changed with the international component. But yeah, I'm super excited about obviously the international visitors, but also some of the things that local artists are working on as well. I guess one of the things we've been really focused on at the festival is using some of the really cool spaces in Wellington. So like closing out right at the end of the festival on the last day, which is the winter solstice, we've got this really nice gig at Erskine Chapel. I don't know if listeners up there may be familiar with it, but it's like a really cool old chapel in Island Bay out in the suburbs that has been restored. And Ricky Gertsch is playing in there with the Taonga Porto ensemble, and there's like a sneak little gig by Orchestra of Spheres, who haven't played for ages. And that gig actually goes for like several hours, and there's like food components and all sorts of other things. That's going to be really nice. And then we're putting on the show great in Wellington at the moment. Obviously, we've had a bit of bad luck with venues closing down, but they're all starting to open up again. And it feels like the city's kind of unfurling a lot. And we're putting on this event in the Hall of Memories, which is a really cool kind of space underneath. It's in the National War Memorial area, if anyone in Auckland knows that, or around elsewhere. It's like an underground venue, and it's like granite walls or marble or something, and it's super acoustic. We've got a really nice event in there with like a sort of like small chamber ensemble. There's sort of little gems hidden around spaces around the city that you can kind of go and check out amongst everything else that's going on.
It sounds like it's going to be such a special time of a little bit of something for everyone, a little bit of, you know, pockets of weird and wonderful all over the city, which is just what I like to hear about Pōneke. We've got a lot of people texting in about feeling quite devastated that lots of these artists won't be playing in Tāmaki. So I reckon we're just going to have to send some Aucklanders down to Loomis, and I'm sure you won't shun Aucklanders from the festival, eh? We're allowed.
Totally welcome.
Welcome with the open arms.
You know what?
Arms.
I have to say the weather in June is actually surprisingly good in Wellington.
Yeah.
I reckon it's better than spring because it's not quite as stormy. It's a bit stiller. It might be a bit chilly, okay. And it's definitely dark, but I recommend June.
Okay, good to know, good to know. Plus, I feel like, you know, if you're getting a bit nippy out there, you can just pop into a bar or restaurant, fill up your belly, get warm your cockles, and then on your way to another gig.
Also, I reckon half of it is also, you know, because there's a temptation in winter just to kind of hibernate and not come out, which is part of the kind of push behind this festival is, has always been just get people out, make some really cool events.
Yeah.
And even outdoor things, like this, there's an outdoor procession, which starts, like, it's early, it starts 5:30 after work, so you can just finish work and then head down to this hour-long procession that goes along the waterfront with music and fire elements and large format puppetry and stuff like that.
Yo, puppetry. That's so cool. Okay. I can get behind a bit of puppetry.
I can get behind a fire element, so.
We're building to as giant, as gigantic, as like 5 meters tall or something. But.
Wow. Oh, yeah, so cool. It sounds like there'll be a lot of really cool stuff to take your tamariki to as well.
As well, yeah. Like, there's a really nice market event too, which starts kind of early, a night market, which has really cool live music running throughout, created by some local musicians and some really interesting local artists and makers selling things and cool food offerings and stuff like that.
Oh, Karawe, so cool. Everyone, we've been talking with David and Andrew about Lumis Festival, which is happening down in Te Whanganui Atara from June 9th to the 21st. You can check out the full program and get tickets for various events and parts of the festival from www.lumis.nz. Lumis is spelled L-O-E-M-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Kōrua, for having a kōrero with us this morning. So cool to learn a little bit more about the festival. And best of luck with the rest of the mahi. I'm sure you've got it cut out for you.
Yeah, better work ahead, but all good fun.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, guys.
Have a wonderful day. Bye. We're going to listen to Snapped Ankles with Raoul. You're on BFM.
The situation.